I have been waiting to read this till you got back, Joanne. It's been sitting up here for several weeks. You may already know about this, but did you know that Malawi has a new president?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And his name is, first name Lazarus. That's interesting, isn't it?
Really?
Last name is Chakwera. Chakwera. Chakwera, I guess that's the way you pronounce it. Close enough. Let me just read you just a couple of interesting paragraphs about this guy. Apparently, this guy's a strong Christian. And Malawi is obviously, like most of the African countries, are totally corrupt. But this, what's that? Malawi, okay, Joanne says Malawi is no exception to the rule. But anyway, this guy ran on a law and order, cleaning things up type of thing. I'll just read you a couple short paragraphs. A month after his swearing in, Chakwera seemed to be making good on his promises. His government increased the nation's minimum wage, fired several officials over corruption allegations, suspended some government contracts. Christians and other observers hope the changes last and wonder how the president's religious background will influence his leadership long term. Here's his background. Chakwera spent 24 years as leader of the Malawi Assemblies of God denomination before he kickstarted his political career as the head of the Congress Party in 2013. He has taught at the Pan-Africa Theological Seminary and serves as chairman of the Assemblies of God School of Theology. Chakwera attended Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Illinois and trained with Haggai. It's spelled like Haggai of the Bible, but it's, I think he pronounces Haggai. Anyway, if you've heard John Haggai, he's a rock-solid evangelical. So he trained with Haggai International Ministries. And then it says, in a 2014 video interview with St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Newport Beach, California, a covenant order of evangelical Presbyterians congregation similar to ours, Chakwera said he initially struggled to accept his calling into politics. And here's his quote. God was not saying, I'm pulling you out of ministry. God was saying, I'm extending your ministry so that you'll be able to pastor the whole nation. So that's his attitude. And it's exciting to see in this formerly, you know, very corrupt system in Malawi, there's a guy over there who is, it's like a pastor. And I mean, he is a pastor, but he's treating his presidency as a pastorate of the whole nation. So it'll be interesting to see the changes that occur in that country. Good. We need to pray for this guy. I mean, you know that Satan's going to be attacking him, and there's going to be a lot of people trying to remove him from his office or destroy him in some way because he's standing up for God. So I've been waiting for you to come back, Joanne, to share that with you. And what'd you say, Karen? Charlie Moon said it sounds like another political leader he's heard of. Okay. For those of you who didn't hear that, Joanne just said that when he came in, there was a lot of rioting and potential spreading of the virus with no masks, and he put an end to that through his executive orders to wear masks, and I'm sure he clamped down on the rioting too. Anyway, so that's that little update. Another little update, I am enjoying Nancy Ball's Bible study very much, and we have been learning about judging people. And I didn't realize how much I judged until we have been looking at stories in the Bible of people who judged and sharing situations where we've been judging. And guess what we're going to talk about today, Nancy? Judging. We're going to talk about judging. Judgments. not us judging, but God judging, which is an entirely different thing. I mentioned to you, we kind of stopped as we were flowing through the end times teaching. We kind of stopped at the rapture last time. And I mentioned briefly the next events that were going to happen. Right after the rapture, I mentioned the first of three judgments, and then I talked about the tribulation and stuff like that. So we're going to talk a little bit today mainly about the first of the three judgments, and I'm going to give you a little quiz and see who's been paying attention. What is the name of the first judgment that's going to take place? Do you remember? What'd you say? Bema Seat Judgment. Very good. And what is the name of the second judgment that's going to take place? I think I heard it in the back. Sheep and goats? Is that what I heard? Deborah said it. Very good. And what is the name of the third judgment? Somebody shout it out. The Great White Throne Judgment. Three entirely different judgments, three different purposes. When we read about judgments in the Bible, we tend to confuse these and run them all together as one thing, but they're different, and we're going to go through the different purposes of the judgments, and it'll make sense once you understand the different things that have to be judged. And probably the most confusing one is the first one we're going to talk about, the Bema Seat Judgment, because when we think of judgment, we think of a person standing in a behind the defense table, and the jury has come out and issued their verdict, and the judge drops his hammer and pronounces judgment on the person. And it's guilty or not guilty, basically. And we tend to think of all of the judgments in the Bible as a question of, are we guilty or not? Are we going to be punished or not? But we don't think of judgments, and this particular judgment, as potentially something good. It's just whether we're going to get in trouble or not. But the Bema Seat Judgment is something entirely different. And I want you to understand that, because I want you to look forward to the Bema Seat Judgment. It's nothing that we should be worried about. It's going to be an exciting time. Where does this term come from, Bema Seat Judgment? It's a Greek word, Bema Seat. And way back in Bible times, they actually, you know, were having Olympics and things like that. And there were games not only in Athens, but there were games in other parts of the Greek and Roman world. And there were a set of games called the Isthmian Games. And this is one of the things that Paul talks about. Remember when he talked about receiving a crown, that you work hard and you compete, but only one person gets the crown, and it was a wreath. You've seen the I don't know what they're made out of, holly or some kind of, I don't know, some kind of vegetation. But anyway, Paul is saying, you know, these athletes will be working so hard, and all they get is this little leaf crown. And he's encouraging, I believe it was Timothy, our crown is not going to fade. It's not going to die or wither or whatever. And if these guys work so hard to get a fading crown, how much harder should we work to get a crown that will not fade, will not be destroyed or tarnished or whatever? But anyway, they would have these games, and the people would go into training, the athletes would go into training, and they would compete. There was wrestling, there was running, I'm sure discus throwing and javelin throwing, things like that. And they had these judges who watched and made sure they didn't step across the line, and just like we do today. But when the games were over, the athletes, the winners, would step up onto a stage, kind of similar to behind me here, and sitting on the stage would be a judge. And the stage that they stepped up on was called the Bema Seat. And then the judge would announce that here's your winner, and he would place the crown on his head. That's where, when the Bible talks about the Bema Seat, that's the reference it's making it. It's an awards celebration. So that's kind of gives you an idea of that there's nothing to be afraid of. the athlete who stepped up on the stage to receive the award, he doesn't have to worry about being condemned. He would either be announced as the winner or somebody else, whoever was decided. But it wasn't there was no condemnation there. It was just a series of awards. So what I want to do is read to you a few verses, just so you know this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says, talking about the Bema Seat. Several verses about that. The first one's in Romans 14:10, and Dave will have, I think, all of these up here. But keep in mind, when you read these verses, think of the athlete who has won the prize and he's stepping up on the stage as you read these. So the first one says this. Paul says in Romans, "Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer?" That's our judging, Nancy. "Remember," he says, "we all stand before the judgment seat of God." Now, he's not talking about the great white throne of judgment, because we're not going to stand there. It's very clear. You'll see as we go through here. We're not going to be at that judgment. He's not talking about the sheep and goats judgment. We're not going to be there for that either. He's talking about the Bema Seat judgment. And what he's saying is, it's God who's going to give the rewards. Or I guess Jesus is the actual rewarder. So if Jesus is going to be the person making the decision, Paul's saying to the Romans, don't make the decision for him. You're not qualified to be the judge, the Bema Seat judge. That's Jesus' job. So don't look down on other people. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their background is. And that's a good word for us, to not be those who judge. Let's leave this up to the Lord. The next verse is in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 10. It says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." And here's the key verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." It says judgment seat. If you were reading a Greek Bible, it would say Bema Seat. So it's clearly that's what they're talking about. We're all going to appear before the Bema Seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. What is that an indication of? It's as we're going to see in the next verse, it's an indication that everything we do, wood, hay, stubble, precious stones, and gold, it's all going to be laid before the Lord. And he's going to look down on it with his fiery eyes, and everything that is worthless is going to be consumed and disappear. And all that's going to be left is the pure things. And from those things, we're going to be rewarded. So, we won't know, as our acts and our deeds are placed before the Lord, we're not going to know how much is going to be consumed until the fire hits it, right? But anybody who loves the Lord, anybody who is a called, again, Christian, is going to have precious stones and gold and wonderful things to receive a reward from. So that's what's going to happen. Where it says whether good or bad, it's not saying judgment. It's just saying some of your stuff is wood, hay, and stubble. That's the bad stuff. And it's going to disappear. You're not going to get punished for it, but you're not going to get rewarded for it either. One more verse. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Paul says this, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, straw, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." What day? Bema Seat Judgment Day. "It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward." That's your precious stones. "If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." You're not going to be punished. Is there going to be regret at the Bema Seat Judgment? Yes. Because we're going to see all that stuff that burns up and say, "My gosh, I invested so much time and energy into that, and poof, it's gone. What a waste of time I did." That's the regret part. Is there going to be condemnation? No. But we're going to feel some regret because we're going to see the evaporation of our wood, hay, and straw. It's nice to be reminded of that now, while we have a chance to not invest in wood, hay, and straw. What is wood, hay, and straw? That's for you to decide. That's your life. But I think we all know. I think we all know what's important and what's not important. I mentioned to you last week that our good friend in Florida, Greg Lee, he was an attorney. He was my age. We started out at the same time. We wound up renting from the same person. So we had shared office space for, 10 years or more, 15 years maybe. Good friends, friend of the family. They were our chief babysitters as our children were growing up. They babysat Daniel, who had to have surgery shortly after his birth. He was born with a cleft lip, and he needed to be somewhere where he couldn't catch a cold. And we had, four other kids, and there's always something going around our house. So we asked Greg and Kimberly, his wife, to watch Daniel. They couldn't have children, and they babysat Daniel for I don't know how long, 2 weeks, Karen says, waiting for the surgery to come up. And because of that two-week experience with Daniel, they really fell in love with him. And they realized they didn't have to have a child themselves that they could adopt. Before they had Daniel, they said, we can't love a child that's not our own. And then they fell in love with him, and they said, yes, we can. They wound up adopting two children, and who are both now in college, and just have had a wonderful relationship with their kids. Their kids love them. They love their kids. Anyway, Greg went to the doctor 3 weeks ago and said, I don't feel good. They ran a MRI on him, and they said, you got pancreatic cancer. You got 4 to 6 weeks to live. And just can't imagine. Just totally shocked him. Anyway, Greg went on to be with the Lord yesterday. And the reason I bring that up is he's going to go through that Bema Seat judgment. And the stuff that is wood, hay, and stubble is going to disappear. Now, we know Greg well. We know he's going to have a lot of precious stones and a lot of rewards. But he is the kind of person that is just a pillar in the community down in Sarasota where we're at. And we're actually going to go down for the funeral. Right now is planned for next Saturday. We're planning on being there for that. But he, in his life, was such a blessing to so many people, Christians, and it's just, I can't wait to see the rewards he's going to get when we do sit down at that Bema Seat judgment. It's going to be an exciting time. Now, some of you might think, well, I'm a little worried about standing before Jesus in any kind of a judgment scene. I kind of get the feeling that I'm not going to hold up. I'm not going to do well. When he breathes on this stuff, there's not going to be anything left. He's going to look at me like, is that all you got? That is an attitude that I'm sure some of you think. You think that somehow or another God's angry with you, or he's disappointed in you. He's not happy with the way you're living your life. So I want to read you a couple verses here now for that kind of person. If you're that kind of person, know that the Bible says this about the way you feel. First is John 3:18. It says this: there is no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus. Let that sink in for a second. There is no judgment. There is no condemnation for anybody who believes in Jesus. Then it says, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. So what's the important thing? It's believing in Jesus. It's where we put our faith. It's not what we do. I mean, obviously we want to live our life to glorify God the best we can. But it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Another verse. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Obviously, Jesus speaking. Listen to this next verse. It ought to really just speak love to you. They will never be condemned for their sins. They will never be condemned for their sins. You don't have to worry about your sins. I've talked to people in this building who are still worried that somehow or another they're going to be disappointing to God when they get to heaven because of the things they've done in the past. I've lived such a bad life. I've done this, I've done that, or whatever. Let me read that to you again. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death unto life. So, again, no condemnation of the Bema Seat Judgment. It's going to be a wonderful time. It kind of reminds me of a story that I want to share with you. When I was in high school, every year at the end of the year, and I'm sure you guys who participate in athletics had the same thing. There's always a sports banquet at the end of the year, and even at the end of each season, like a football banquet and a baseball banquet, etc. Well, I played just about every sport you could play in high school, but I wasn't that good. I was good enough to make the team, but that was about it. But I always had these visions of grandeur that when the sports banquet came around, somebody was going to recognize that I had something, you know, extraordinary that I had done, and they were going to announce to the banquet, let me tell you about Kurt Bomar. Let me tell you what he did. In my mind, I had these visions of grandeur. So my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year, I didn't expect that much because it's always the seniors, you know, that get all the glory. But I thought, maybe I'll get a shout out. Maybe I will. Nothing. My senior year finally came around. I thought, now's my time. Now is the time I'm going to be called up to the front. I might not make the MVP, the most valuable player, but I'm certainly going to get some kind of award, something. Somebody's going to recognize something in me that's of value, even if it's the Mr. Congeniality Award. Something, the Sportsmanship Award, you know, something. So I waited in anticipation, waiting for my name to be called. It never got called. And I went home disappointed my senior year from that. It shouldn't have been called. Don't get me wrong. I didn't deserve it. I was just hoping that somebody might have seen something that even I didn't see. But the Bema Seat Judgment is going to be different. We're all going to hope our name's going to be called and that God's going to see something in the little pile of gold, silver, precious stones that he's going to say, hey, everybody, pay attention. Kenny's up here. I want you to see what Kenny did. He's going to point out the ruby, the diamond, the sapphire, the gold nugget. And Kenny's going to get applauded by everybody standing around. And then he's going to go to Marie, and he's going to go to Richard, and he's going to go to Alice, and he's going to go around to every one of us. And none of us are going to feel that disappointment that I felt. Some of us are going to have more than others, but we're all going to be rewarded. It's going to be a wonderful banquet. It's going to be an exciting time. Now, let me do one more thing. We'll try to finish up the Bema Seat anyway. Timing. When is it going to happen? When is the Bema Seat going to happen? Revelation 19, chapter 7, gives us a hint as to when this event is going to happen. It says there, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Who's the bride? It's the church. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the white linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like the Bema Seat Awards? Okay. So what this tells me is the Bema Seat Award is going to precede the wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19. And the angel said to me, this is talking to John, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you. Worship God only. Verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, and he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Let me stop there for a second. What has happened? We have had the Bema Seat judgment. We have received our rewards. We have received our white linens. We're going to participate in the wedding supper of the Lamb, which is going to be a banquet like you can't even imagine. You're going to be able to eat and eat and eat and not even get full. That's so exciting to me, to think about eating my favorite foods and not get full and just get, bring it on. Bring some more. Let me have some more. And then after the supper's over, I just picture these gates opening up. I picture Jesus coming through the gates on a white horse. And he says, come on, gang. We got work to do. And Jesus is going to descend on earth, heading a righteous and true war, something that needs to be done. Let me just read it instead of telling you about it. His name was Faithful and True, and he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many crowns. His name, a name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest pure white linen, who's that? That's us, right? Followed him on white horses. That's the picture at the end of the tribulation. We haven't been talking about what's going on earth while we're talking about the Bema Seat rewards. But while we're having our rewards, earth is going through hell for 7 years, and God has been dealing with sin of different types, different ways, and he's going to come in and mop everything up at the end of the 7 years. And we are going to come with him. We're each going to have a horse. Those of you who like horses, you're going to have your own white horse. That's going to be really neat. So when he gets to earth, he's going to do a lot of things, and there's going to be another judgment as soon as he gets to earth. That's the sheep and the goats judgment. That's what we're going to talk about next time. Not going to get into that now. But the Bema Seat, it's an exciting time. It's an awards banquet. We're all going to feel good about it. We're all going to have some really nice rewards. I look forward to it. That's all I'm going to cover today. I wanted to stop early enough to do something a little bit different. It's nice to study the Bible. It's nice to learn about what's going to happen in the future and to be confident through the scriptures of how things are going to happen and to be able to share that with people. But I don't want us leaving here without having an experience with the Lord, an emotional experience, not just in our heads. I want to reach our hearts too. So Dave's got one of my favorite psalms that he's going to put up here, Psalm 121. A couple years ago, a bunch of us were in a memorization project, and this was one of the sections of scripture that we memorized. Some of you memorized it in the King James, which is the way it is up there. Some of us memorized it in the NIV. But what I would like us to do is I would like us to stand and read together Psalm 121. Try to let it flow into your heart and recognize that Christ wants not just to be in our head, he wants to be in our heart. He wants us to depend upon him. He wants us to look to him for our needs. And that's what this psalm is about. It's about looking to Jesus for our needs in times of trouble, in times of happiness, in times of sadness. Always be looking to Jesus. And then after we read it, we'll sit back down, and I'm going to play you a song, which is the same psalm put to music. It's an absolutely beautiful song. But I want you to read it through first, so that you know it, and he's going to leave the words up, and then I want you to just relax and enjoy how somebody has put this to beautiful music. Let it sink into your heart. I want you to leave here feeling that you're closer to the Lord than when you came in here. So let's all stand, and we'll read it first, and then we'll go from there. Read it with me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You may be seated. As you listen to the song, they'll be going through this a couple times. As you get familiar and you want to sing along, you're welcome just to sing along yourself. Whenever you're ready, Dave.
Even forevermore.
before the altar of the Lord and we have worshiped him and thought about him and realized that that's where our strength comes from, that's where our help comes from, just as important as anything else that I can teach you here. It's your relationship with the Lord that's important. We're going to call that our final hymn, Bud, if that's okay. And we'll close in prayer, and then we'll have our fellowship circle. Father, we come before you thankful, Lord, that we can come to you for our help. Whatever our needs are, you are there for us. Jesus, in his human form, experienced every problem that we experience, all the way down to persecution and crucifixion, everything lighter than that. So he knows what we go through, and we thank you, Jesus, for being our help and being our counselor and our advocate and our helper. So as we go throughout this week, Lord, we want to lean on you, trust on you. We want to be your friend, and we want you to be our friend and to be involved in our life this week. So I just pray that we would remember that, not just walk out of here with head knowledge, but walk out of here with a change in heart too, a desire to serve you and love you because of what you've done for us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's form our fellowship circle.